Yeah, we were discussing the connections between the Haftorah in Yechezkel and HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, Parshas HaChodesh, why Chazal chose that particular Haftorah. And we mentioned already a number of things. It mentions, both of them mention Korban Pesach, both of them mention HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, that Nisan should be the Rosh Chodoshim, and they both mention the Mitzvah of Matzah, that Shivas Yomim, one should eat matzah is teochel, is mentioned in both of those. So we've already got three similarities. Just have a look at two other similarities, both of which are a little bit less obvious, but very interesting. The first one is that, as we said, that towards the end of Sefer Yechezkel, which is where we are now, Sefer Yechezkel has 48 prokim, and we're in Perek Mem Hei, in Perek 45. So we're towards the end of the Nevuah of Yechezkel HaNovi. Yechezkel HaNovi is predicting how it will be in the Bayis HaShlishi. Not the Bayis HaSheni, which was still to come, but the Bayis HaShlishi, Lasid Lavoi. And we already discussed that aspect of it. One of the things that he mentions is that there will be he calls it a Chatoas HaMishkon, which means that before they have a Chanukas HaMizbeach, or a Chanukas HaMishkon, of the new third Beis HaMikdosh, there will be a purification, a process of purification of the Beis HaMikdosh. What it says is, and this is in Perek Mem Hei, Posuk Yud Zayin, I think it is. A quick look. Sorry, I had the place here. Mem Hei, Yud Zayin. Nope. Yud Zayin. Yeah. It says, Be'echad l'chodesh, on the first of the chodesh, so the Chanukah Sabbath of the Bayis HaShishi will be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is similar to the Mishkom, which was also on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Borishon, Be'echad l'chodesh, tikach pe'abokatomim v'chiteso es ha-mikdosh. And we're going to purify the new Beis HaMikdosh. How are we going to purify the Beis HaMikdosh? V'lokach ha-koyim midam ha-chatos, that the Kohen should take from the Dam HaChatos, of the Kohen HaChatos that's brought that day, V'nosan el mezuzas habayis, and he should put the blood on the doorposts of the Beis HaMikdosh, V'al arba pinos v'azor la mizbeach, and in the four corners of the azora, V'al mezuzas shah hechotze ha-panimis, and also on the outer door as well. The inner door. Yeah, so there you've got a process whereby you are sprinkling blood on the mezuzos habayis. And that is very, very similar to what we have in our in the parsha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, that they had the mitzvah in Pasuk 12:7, Pasuk Zayin, said that yes, lokchu min adam, they should take from the dam, v'nosna shtei hamezuzos v'al hamashkoif. So you had a process of sprinkling blood on the mezuzos of the doors of the houses in Mitzrayim. And similarly, Laosid Lovoy, in the Nevuah of Yechezkel, there will be a sprinkling of blood on Mezuzos HaBayis of the Bayis HaShlishi. So that's another connection that they make. The final one, obviously, is that the whole parsha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem speaks about, towards the end, about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It was the mitzvah that was given to Klal Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim. And the very end of the Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh speaks about the releasing of Avodim. It speaks there, yeah, it speaks there about that you should be free, that you should be freeing the slaves at the end of the parsha, and obviously that was another similarity between the Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh and Parshas HaChodesh itself. Yetzias Mitzrayim is about the freeing of Klal Yisrael as slaves in Mitzrayim, and the end of the Parshas HaChodesh speaks about the inyan of freeing the slaves, Losid Lovoi, reminding Klal Yisrael that a Jewish slave only stays for 6 years and then he's freed, etc., etc. So there you have, so in total we've got seven so far of the connections between the Haftorah of Yechezkel Ben Buzi and the Parshas HaChodesh. So tomorrow morning, Mi'at Hashem, when we say the Haftorah, we'll be able to think about it and know a little bit more about it, why it's relevant.
Start to the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, Kaf Dalet Ador, 13th of March, Rabbi Yisrael Sholem Aran Shlita of Kol Netzach Yisrael, 3rd Beis HaMikdosh. This week's Torah has been sponsored, Lechvot Simas HaNesuim of Families. Wittenberg and Moses. Custom took place on Tuesday. He wrote and should buy the Mormon of Shemisilah. And also in Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov Ben Rav Shimon Chodz for Iskowitz of Chron Lebrocha. And a Madeltov of the family Iskowitz on the birth of a grandson. Shalom Zachar tonight. Sneath Avenue. 12 Sneath Avenue tonight.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Shkayach also to Josh for inviting me here. Shkayach Josh for inviting me to speak. In this week's Sedra, in the Parsha, it says in Pasuk, Vayakel v'chol chacham leiv v'chem yovoy v'yasu es kol ha-shetziva Hashem. So there's a sefer called Meshivas Nefesh, a cousin of the Marshal, so 500 years ago, where he explains that in Mitzrayim, the Yidden practiced, they knew that they're going to be taken out. Yeah, Pokoy, Yifkoy, they knew they're going to be taken out and redeemed from Mitzrayim. They understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be Mashar Shechina, and that they're going to have to build a Mishkan. So he says they practiced. He says the women, when they were in Mitzrayim, this is language. So to the men, into the craftsmanship and trades that they knew would be necessary, and this probably went on for a few generations. But they, because as far as they were aware, they were only going to be living at 400 years. They left at 210. So as Kenira, he doesn't speak this out. They were doing this. They made sure to keep their skills, building work and. And he says the women for weaving, in order that they should be able to, at the right time, be able to build a Mishkan. And he says, Roy lelamid ha-noshim, it is fitting to teach women, this is 500 years ago, he writes, to the umnus ha-machat, the craft of the needle, va-tviya, and spinning, va-riga, and weaving, because in Nizke, if we are worthy to lebinin abayis, when the Beis HaMikdash comes, we're going to need to again have craftsmen. Yeah, we're not going to contract it out to Goyim. There is actually talk about it. Can one or can one not? The Chirim, how much do they do? The actual work by Shlomo Melech was maybe. We'll see. But the this is what he writes. He says both. The men did their jobs, the women did their jobs, and he said they trained. And then he says it's fitting that nowadays, he's talking about 500 years ago, they should also, he says the women should also learn the work of the needle and weaving. He doesn't talk about the men. Even though in Mitzrayim, he says it was both. It could be there's a pshat, but that's what, I'm just repeating what he says. This is again, his father was, the Marshal's father was his cousin. Saying he's very early, almost Rishonim. That's what he writes. Now, this leads to the question of how is the third Beis HaMikdash going to be built? Famous that there's a machlikas. Is the third Beis HaMikdash going to be built by human hands, which according he seems to be taking on, or at least the Kalim or the Big De Kahuna of the third Beis HaMikdash? Or are we talking about, or is the third Beis HaMikdash going to be descend from heaven, going to be revealed to us, not? And it's not actually going to be built. So the first Maramokum that is well known is Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei, the Mishnah, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechlem and Zakkai made a takona, that in the oima is the new crop, the chodosh, as we know, because you're not allowed to eat chodosh until the korban oima is brought, or in the days when there's no Beis HaMikdash, already from the morning of the 16th of Nisan, it is ready for mitted. But Rabbi Yechlem and Zakkai made a takona that we can't eat it until the next day, Yoyim Hanaf is also, till that evening, one can't eat it, because maybe Meheri Yibona HaMikdash, Mashiach will come, people will forget that they have to wait for the Oima, and they'll assume that we can already eat from the 16th of Nisan, the new crop. So therefore, he made this Gzeira that one can't eat. And the Gemara asks over there in Sukkah, Hold on. Even in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, when there was an Oima, from Chatzais and onwards, it was permitted from halfway through the day of the 16th, because the Sanhedrin were always Zrizim, the Kohenim were always conscientious, and it was always done at least by Chatzais. The Oima was sacrificed, was ready. Mukra, we don't want to use the word sacrifice, so we always mention the Goyisha term. Korban is not sacrifice. Korban is Kirva, says the Ramban, yeah, the Goyisha term to call it a sacrifice. But the point is that the korban of Omer was always brought, even in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. Questions the Gemara, so why is it a problem to eat it after Chatzos? Even if Mashiach comes, even if people make a mistake, and they, so just say we can't eat till Chatzos. From Chatzos it'll always be okay. To which the Gemara answers that maybe Mashiach, Ben David will come, either on the day of the first day of Yom Tov, well, it'll be only one day in Eretz Yisrael, on the 15th of Nisan, or on the night, the Motzei Yom Tov, the night of the 16th, and they'll be in such a, they'll build the Beis Hamikdash, there'll be such a rush, be busy cutting the Oima, has to be cut, so then it'll get delayed, and it'll only happen in the afternoon, and then people will still forget, because they'll be like, oh, it's for sure okay, because last year we ate, therefore he just made a blanket, it is forbidden to eat the Oima, and Rashi and Tosfos, the Rishonim will ask, how could they build the Beis Hamikdash in Yom Tov? This week's parsha, it's not Deich Shabbos, it's not Deich Yom Tov. So too, by night as well, the other Teretz of the Gemara, they will be built in Motzah, first day of Pesach. By night, in Beis Hamikdash, Binyan Beis Hamikdash, by Laila. So both if it was on Yom Tov, it is forbidden. And by Laila, and Rashi answers famously that the third Beis Hamikdash is not going to be built. It's going to be, his words are, it's going to be Nigla, it's going to be revealed, it's going to come down with Shamayim, and therefore there's no problem of us building on Shabbos. It could happen on Yom Tov. The third day of Beis Hamikdash will just descend, and Belaila as well, it can happen, and therefore there'll be the concern, because the Oima will still take time to go to the field, to cut the new barley, and then have to sieve it 13 times, all the different processes which happen to the Oima, and therefore it'll take time and it'll tarry. So Rashi, clearly, and Tosfos also, and Rashi, I think, in Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah quotes it from a Medrash Tanchuma, the third Beis Hamikdash is not going to be built by human hands, and therefore he says the Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai, that's his pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai has to make a takana gzera, because maybe when Mashiach will come and it'll be built on Yom Tov, because we're not building it, his words are going to be revealed to us in December. The Meiri argues, I mean, famously it's the Rambam who argues, but just the Meiri over there in Sukkah says, no, maybe Bezdin will make a mistake. Fascinating. He says, we'll be so excited, Mashiach say, and they'll be like, we have to build the Beis Hamikdash. There's a concern. It'll build it on Yom Tov. Negative, Pasuk in Torah. Yeah, it's not Deicha Shabbos in Yom Tov. Yeah, but the Lesvaru Eish, Pchom Eish Viseichem, and all the Pesukim saying that you can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos in Yom Tov. But the people will be so excited to build the Beis Hamikdash that by mistake, Beis Din will say, build it on Yom Tov. That's what Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai was afraid of in Sukkah. And then once it's built, it's a good Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't passel the Beis Hamikdash just because it was built in error. And then they'll bring the Oima late because they have to do the whole process of cutting the barley. And that was that because of the concern of Bezdin making a mistake, they made this takonah. And this is really the Shittas HaRambam, that it's going to be built by human hands. Again, the Meiri clearly learning that it's not, he doesn't answer because the Beis Hamikdash is going to come down with Shemaim. The Rambam says one of the jobs of Mashiach is, this is Perik Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Melachim, Melech HaMashiach Yivne Beis Hamikdash. He talks about what the Rambam is telling you, informing us, what's going to be the jobs of Mashiach, and one of them is that he's going to build the Beis Hamikdash. Meiri fits with that. People ask him, say in Nachim, Be'esh Yitzata, Be'esh Ata Osid, Livnoisa. Yeah, it's not really, I personally don't think that's much of a question, because Be'esh Yitzata, there was also human beings involved there. Yeah, even though it says that the Brain Shem sent fire down Mishamayim, but there was also Nevuchadnezzar, and there was Radon, and there was also a Titus, who they burned the Beis Hamikdash down. They lit the flame, a physical flame, but Kobi was also a heavenly flame as well. So if the Be'esh Yitzata has human input, then who says the Be'esh Ata Osad Livnoisa also doesn't mean that has human input? I mean, the Rambam himself in Hilchos Tefillah, the end, when he brings the whole Seidah Tefillah, also quotes this Loshon, Be'esh Ata Osad Livnoisa. Yet in Hilchos Melachim he writes clearly that Mashiach is going to be the one building the Beis Hamikdash. Regarding Nachim, it is interesting. This Rashi is, there's a halacha in Tishbov. you want to say Nachim, we say it during Mincha on in Yerushalayim. But if a person forgets it, if a person forgot to say Nachim, then he says it by Shema Kaleinu. What happens if you forget to say by Shema Kaleinu? So it's brought down in Yerushalmi, and Taz brings it down to say it Beretzei, and if you forget to say Beretzei, to say it, this is not La Locha, but this is brought down Poskim, to say it by Moedim, or we say Alanissim, to say it there. And the Taz questions, he says, how could Yerushalmi say such a thing? Though isn't there a rule that we only say the last three, from Moedim onwards, we only say Hoidah, things in the past. Alanissim, he could say, you don't do Tfilis for the future. Yeah, like Yal and Yodah. Yeah, we don't do, there's a, Shainim already asked the question how we say Chseiv L'chaim Ta'ivim in the last three. That's a registered question. Some say Aseret the Meiri actually says Aseret Speak Tshuva is different. Yeah, but on a regular Bakoshas, we don't do in the first three and then the last three. We can do Haidos, we can do Thans. So the Taz wants to change the gears of the Shalmi. So it can't be that you can say Nachim in Moedim because it's a Bakosha. And there's a lot many opinions. If you look at Machzah Shekel as a Teretz, and he says it's not really a Bakosha, it's more commemorating. There's a few terutzim. The Prima Godim on the page, Prima Godim says, unbelievable teretz. He says, what do you mean? The Beis Hamikdash has already been built. Look, he doesn't quote Rashi, but he's referring to Rashi. He says, we believe that the Beis Hamikdash is ready already. It's in Shemaim, ready, the third Beis Hamikdash, and it's ready built. It's a Hoidah. We're saying it just has to be revealed. Lashon Rashi has to be nigla to us, has to be revealed to us when it comes down, but it's fully built, and therefore it's not tefillah for the future. We can say it, but the evet. Again, la halacha, we're not saying you should do this, but this is brought down the Prima Godim as a teretz for the Taz's question. Yeah, the Prima Godim writes because it's really built the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore it's not tefillah for the future. It says it's already been rebuilt with all the mitzvahs of every Klal Yisrael and all the tshuva that Klal Yisrael have done. It's already fully built. You have to know when the nusach of Nachin comes from. Was it Ashkenaz Sagdela or not? But he says it's already been fully rebuilt, and therefore it is appropriate to say it in Moedim, which is an unbelievable thing to think about. It means it's a Hidah, in a sense. Yeah, but thank you. But okay, that won't work according to the in Chazal itself. Emes, we're saying it's a machlekes Rishonim, and it's well known as a machlekes Rishonim. Rashi, Tosfos, Neged, the Rambam, the Meiri. But in Chazal itself, there's stiras everywhere. There's Midrashim, we said, Medrash Tanchuma, which says openly, Migdash Hashem Kunani Yodecho, and the Ribbono Shelolam will build the Beis HaMikdash, and not human hands. There's Medrash. Medrash says, just to quote the Lashon, in Zaya, all over the place, it says that it's not going to be built with human hands. In Yalkut Shemayni Tehillim it says Hashem le'erich yomim le'ker shayna shabona shleima v'chorav. The second one, which was bona Ezra bona Isa v'chorav. The third one, which won't be built by shleima, won't be built by Ezra, will be built by you, the Rebbeinu Shleima, and that's le'erich yomim. Yeah, many. On the other hand, there's many midrashim faket. I mean, just in Sukkah itself, later on in the Gemara, I think in the Nuns. The Gemara says that the apostle describes four builders and the four Charoshim, yeah? One of them is Shem ben Noyach, yeah, because he helped build the Teva, and one of them is Mashiach. And Rashi says, why is Mashiach called a builder? Yeah, Arba Charoshim. Hashem says he's going to lead us with four builders. So the answer is because because Mashiach is a builder, because he's going to build the Beis Hamikdash. So he's clearly doing something, according to that fit with the Rama. But there's also Midrashim in Bamidbar Rabba, Melech HaMashiach, Yibna Beis HaMikdash. This is Zariah. This is fascinating. In the Parshas told us, I don't know if you guys know, I only discovered this a week ago. In the Parshas told us, there's a Medrash, regular Medrash Rabba, go and look up afterwards, where it brings the story. So this is about 50 years, Be'erach, I tried to get. The Machlek is when, but Be'erach 50 years after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, where the Romans said, you can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And you can imagine the excitement. There is an opinion that it was 200 years later, but it's hard to work out with the times. Pashtas was about 50 years. Pashtas was 50 years. So everyone got very excited. The Olam all gathered. There was two very wealthy people.
Who was the emperor?
It doesn't say who the emperor was. It just says Malchus HaRishal, the wicked kingdom. It doesn't say who it is. I'm unsure if this came all the way from Rome or if it was the governor of Eretz Yisrael. That's where it gets machlekes, because some say it was 200 years after, 200 and something years after, but it doesn't fit with Rabbi Shua's terminology. Definitely either 50 years or 200 years. If it's easier to say 50. Say that there's places it at around 50 years, 50 something years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he and there were two wealthy Yidden called, you might recognize the names, they were big tzaddikim, Pipus and Lunius. Those who learned Tanis, they know the Gemara says, and maybe Pesach, that you have to, not anyone's zeichet to be in the Mechitza and Gan Eden, because they, at the end of their lives, not here, they sacrificed themselves for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, the famous story when, okay, briefly, a Roman daughter or something was killed, and they blamed the Yidden for it. So they offered themselves up, they said, no, it was us. There's nothing to do with the Jews. They were Eden. So we killed, and then that saved the whole Klal Yisrael from where it was like a private crime. They said we killed. They hadn't killed, and then they did that as some serious nefesh, and they were killed. Like Kitchen Shem, were tortured and killed. That's Pipus. But this is earlier. These Pipus and Lunius are very wealthy people, and the Medrash says they put up tarpizin, which is a Greek word for tables. Now Akov Adam Tuchia, filled with gold and silver and anything. Building a base of Mikdash is very expensive. You can imagine the charity campaign. Yeah, and these two tzaddikim were very wealthy, and they put up the tables from Akko until Antuchia. Everyone should be able to take whatever they called Tzorchov to build the third base of Mikdash. And the Olim went about to build. Now it says that at the Kotiim, and it is the researchers more, Am Choshesh, the Loshon of the Medrash is it was the Kotiim. I'm choshesh it was the Christians, because many times they change it, but this is just my own theory. You have to know, sometimes it says Kutim, it means them. But the Loshon of the Medrash is Kutim. Kutim went to the Romans and said, you're crazy, you're letting them rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to rebel, they're not going to pay tax. So the governor said, what should we do? We need an excuse. We can't just tell them one day, we can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the next day, no, you can't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the Roma, they told them, you know what, just tell them they can build the Beis HaMikdash, but not there. It has to be somewhere else. And he says, you'll see, they won't rebuild it. He says, or you can tell them to add another 10 amas, or 5 amas, it says, another 5 amas onto the building, or 5 amas less. And you'll see, because Hakol Beksav, you have to know, there's a way to add on the Beis HaMikdash. You could do Mekadosh Lishkes, but that's what they told them. And Hakol Beksav Yad Hashem, everything has to be Alpina Vua, the Diktuk, and the Yidden hear this decree, and they're like, we can't move the Beis HaMikdash somewhere else. Everyone's all excited, everyone's really gathered. It says they all gathered in from Goyla, they all came up from Golas, building the Beis HaMikdash. And at that point, the Yidden were like, we're finished. We're going to rebel, we're going to go, we'll revolt against Rome again. If they wouldn't, they let us build the Beis HaMikdash, and now they're telling us it's unbelievable. Nowadays, you think, imagine if all the Goyim and all the Yidden think like going, everyone lets us build the Beis HaMikdash with one condition, few amas less. We'd find that as a heter. Nothing doing. So the Medrash says they wanted to revolt against Rome, and Chazal realized, we can't revolt. So they said, who should we send? So they said, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, which is the regular Rabbi Shua of the Gemara. That's why it's probably 50 years after the Churban. The regular Rabbi Shua, is Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. So Rabbi Shua ben Chananya goes, and he tells them the moshel that, of the famous moshel of the lion and the bird sticks his head into the lion's mouth to help him. And the lion tells him, you don't need a reward, just tell people that you stuck your head into the lion's mouth and you survived. So he says the same thing, if Rome lets us live, if we're in Golos and we're not being killed, that's good enough. You don't know, the fact they don't give us rishus to build the Beis HaMikdash, we shouldn't have too high today. That's the thing, but it's interesting. The Olim went to build. It says they all gathered, they all collected money. I mean, two people donated the money to rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shua was a student of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, by the way. Yeah, he was one of the ones carrying out Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai during the Churban Baal Sheni. Yeah, Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, according to Rashi, he was saying, they knew the third Beis HaMikdash is coming Mishamayim. And therefore, they were Goyza, according to Rashi and Tosfos. And they were Goyza, therefore, that the Oymer is Osa. And here, his student is going, they're rebuilding it by hand. If they had the idea that, one could answer that. There's two things. They had the idea that's what's going to happen. But they also knew there's a chiyuv to build. If you're allowed to build, we have to do what we can do. What happens miraculously will happen miraculously. But it's just interesting. Some bring, I think, Baruch and Fishel Perla brings this as a raya to their opinions that a third Beis HaMikdash will be hand-built and not built by... and not built by Shemayim. Al Kabbalah didn't have it so much of a rag, because the Maaseh they didn't build. And also, we have a chiv to do what we have to do, which could also fit with what we started with, the Meshivas Nofesh, that women should learn how to weave and the sewing. I'm still not all the girls, because when they do sewing classes, they take about Kedei, that when Mashiach comes, they should be able to. It's a board dinner, you might say it's the Big Dikahuna, or it might be the Kalim. It's a safe. It's called Avodah Tama from a Talmud of Kivega, where he explains that even the Big Dikahuna and even the Kleir Mikdash also can't be built on Shabbos, when sown on Shabbos and on Yontov. So the same question that Rashi asks, how could they do it on Shabbos and Pesach? How are you allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash? And he answers, it's going to come down from Shemayim. The fear here, this Talmud of Kivega, applies also to the clothes, because you can't have Big Dikahuna Eichnish, and you can't have the Kalim also on Yontov. So the that there, it's what have to be as well. But that is debatable as well. The Maisa, in Reina Bechai, at the end of Parshas V'Yakel, he talks at great length. He says, in these Parshas V'Yakel Pekudei, which talk about the Mishkan, V'da ki asipo, this is the quote of Reina Bechai, ki asipo be'inyan ha-Mishkan v'keilov, v'chakira b'tchunas tzuroisov v'muvov, v'she'urkon v'rochbon, v'koymoson, the Mishkan, here we have four Parshas, Truma Tetzav V'Yakel Pekudei. Talk about the details and the intricacies of the length and the height and how it was done of the Mishkan, even though it's not the same in the Beis Hamikdash, and we're not building the Mishkan either. Mitzvah gedelu hi ad shamayim yegia schora, v'teirehi v'lilmed ala tzrichin, and he says it's the equivalent of when one learns the parasha of Oila, as if he's been makrav Oila, so too when one learns the parashias of the Mishkan, it's as if he has built the Mishkan, as if he has built the Beis Hamikdash. And as was mentioned before, when Rabbi Wiesenfeld spoke about Haftarah, there's really three places where they talk. We have these parashas talking about the Mishkan. We have Melochim talking about the beginning of Melochim, where Shlomo HaMelech is the first Beis HaMikdash. We have Yecheskel, the end of Yecheskel, talking about the third Beis HaMikdash. And if one wants, why is it important for us to know Lefi Rashi? According to the Rambam, it says Mefurash, in order that we should know how to rebuild. Why is it, if it's going to be like Rashi and Tosfos, that it's going to not be built by human hands, and it's going to be revealed Mishamayim, why is it important for us? So if one looks in the Yochanan Bayaz, the beginning of Shnai's Midas, he says it's important for us to know that the Nevi'im were right. We see that when we see it kind of Mishamayim, it'll be exactly like Cheskel. That's what he says. But that is the third Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash, this is the Rambam at the beginning, Pirish Mishnai's the Rambam at the beginning of Mishnai's Midas. Mishnai's Midas is the second Beis HaMikdash. So we have Pesukim Melochim first. Second Beis HaMikdash is really a hybrid. It is mainly the first Beis HaMikdash, which are a few things of the third Beis HaMikdash. And there's a sefer written by the Ramchal. It's called Mishkan Ekel. It's a Kabbalistic sefer. But over there he's coming to explain how everything in the Beis HaMikdash was connected to, because of the Beis HaMikdash Shalamala and the Hashpah, how it was connected to the highest spheres. So he says there's really only two things. There's the first Beis HaMikdash, and that he talks about Olimness and higher concepts. And then there's a third Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was really meant to be like the third, but we weren't on that Madriga. So it was a bit of a hybrid. And that's why we didn't have all the Shechina the same way, he explains, because it wasn't exactly in line. In Shemayim, it should have been the third Beis HaMikdash, just we weren't Zoicha at that point. Yeah, there's only Beis Rishon and Beis Achron. That's how he explains. But either way, the second Beis HaMikdash is a bit of a hybrid. It's going back to that, the Shaila of the steer of the Midrashim, I forgot to mention that, Meridig, and the Siddha Hagro. We say in Davening on Yontav, V'hareinu b'vinyonoi, V'samcheinu b'sikonoi, it's the Siach Yitzchak there, in the bottom brings from the Meril Diskin, quite a well-known shot, that the Meril Diskin said, we say in Eicho, that the Sha'orim, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, were Tovu, they sunk in to the ground, Tovu Sha'oreo, they sank into the ground. He says, what's the point of that? Why? The rest of the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So he says, like Rashi, like Tosfos, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be revealed, and like we saw, the Prima Godom says it's already built, and it's going to come down Mishamayim. Yeah, and he says, we're not going to have the mitzvah of Osuli Mikdash. So he says, no, the gates will come up. And the gates will come up, and we will. And he says, Sanhedrin, the Bezdin will take it, and they will put that. They will affix the gates onto, and that will be the Gemar. That will be the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, of the third Beis HaMikdash. It will be, says, "V'hareinu b'vinyonah." We should see, because we're not going to be part of the building. V'samcheinu b'sikuna, yeah, and we should be glad and happy with the tikkun, because we will do that tikkun. And with that, it's miyashav a lot of the steerers, where they'll be done in Shamayim. It doesn't help the Rambam and the Meiri and the. And that gate is not ma'akav l'chayra, those gates, depends which ones. But that would be Ashim. He wants to say there would be both aspects to it. It's interesting that over there in the Siddur HaGro, it says another pshat for somebody called the Rechil Hela. I think he says a different pshat. In Samchene B'sikona, it says Tikkun Godel Hoya. The Gemara Sukkah says that the Simchas B'Yisrael Shiva, they made a great tikkun, and they made that men and ladies should be separate. So he said, "V'samchenu and the Simcha B'Sikonai, we will add that to the B'Sikonai. We shall come to Shemaim. We will add the Mechitza. We will add the." That's a different pshat. He said, "Either way, Rav Diskin, just very quickly to finish off, is that in that it's Mishnayos Siyata D'Shemaim. They have over there the red ones. He brings in that Gdoma to Mishnayos Midas. Unbelievable story that the." We said Mishnayos Midas is the second Beis Hamikdash. So he brings down that in the days of the Moril Diskin, there was a Yid who did business with a Goy. And the Goy gave him the money, invested it, and like everything, it didn't work. He lost the money. He had told the Goy there's risks if you invest. The Goy was, the Yid lost his money, and he was out to kill him. So the Yid went running from Moril Diskin, like a brocha, something to save him. Yeah. So the Moril Diskin tells him, I'll give you a scholar, learn Mishnayos Midas, which is all about second Midas, and that will be a shmirah from your enemies. So the Zakeni Yerushalayim didn't know. The Zakeni Yerushalayim looked to see if there's any source for this scholar. It doesn't say, by the way, if it helped. It just brought down. That's what he told him. So stomach. So he looked at the time, the Zakeni Yerushalayim, the days of the Moril Diskin. Yeah, they were looking. Is there any source for this scholar, or was this a private brocha from the Moril Diskin? People went to Reb Chaim Kineski for certain things. He told them, learn this. Doesn't mean, and you'll be saved. Another person went to Reb Chaim Kineski with the same problem. He told them, learn something else and you'll be saved. Doesn't mean that it's a scholar for everyone. So, and they couldn't find any source for it. So they said, there's obviously a private scholar, not something that we can do. This Reb Amram Bloy, the big famous Kanoi, the Tzaddik, was sent this over to Reb Yoelish, the Rebbe of Satmar, Reb Yoel of Satmar. He told him over this story that the Moril Diskin told the person. And so Reb Yoel Satmar said, I can find the Makor, it's not so sure. He says, if you're looking for Makor, it says in Shmuel that when David HaMelech had to run away, he was afraid from Shaul, and he goes running to Shmuel HaNavi, and it says he went to Nevius. He wasn't really a Nevius. He went to Roma, but it says Nevius there. The Gemara in Zvachim asks, it's two separate places. So it says, no, he went to Shmuel, but he was learning all about the Beis HaMikdash, where exactly it should be built and how it should be built. That's what he spent. When he escaped Shaul, that's what he did. He says, but now, it's very important to learn. There's a great why is he learning it now? He says, literally in the posuk where he escapes. He says, Vayeschais is a scholar when someone's being chased by someone to learn about the Beis HaMikdash. He says, if you're looking for a Makor, said the Satmar Rebbe, maybe this would be the Makor. Al Kaponim, we should all be safe from all our Reitfim, Klal Yisrael. Shtak Mizeich, Asayif, it's Lefish, it's a Rambam. Asayif, it's a Rashi, whatever it should be, Shuzeich, to be the Beis HaMikdash.
So much spoken about the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash. Yaakov Pekide is essentially revision of all this, but I'll say something which is Mekasha and brings together Shabbos, Pasha, Sachoidesh, and together with this week's Sedra, and we'll see how we can develop it shortly. I'll go swiftly to the points. First of all, the men and the women contributed towards the Mishkan, that's clear. Das Kenim says that the women gave eagerly to the contribution of the Mishkan and the men reluctantly. The men thought the women wouldn't give their jewelry, but the master, they were proven wrong. The women gave their jewelry enthusiastically. In contrast, by the Egel, it was exactly the opposite. The women declined, refused to part with their bracelets, with their earrings, and the men threw it at the Ha'am HaKohen by his polki with delight, and they went about the contribution of gold and necessary jewelry that was there to build the Egel Hazuv. So you've got the two things. You've got the Mishkan, you've got the Egel, you've got the men, and you've got the women, and you've got the differences of the attitude. Shulchan Aruch says like this, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that it is a reward for the women. To an extent that actually in Rosh Chodesh, some women are nimna and refrain from actually doing certain meluchas on Rosh Chodesh. But the masa is, let's understand what this association is between Rosh Chodesh and the ladies. Another nekida. The key oil is produced from copper. And the Pusik says that it was from copper, which was from Marois Hatzoivois. What were these mirrors? So there's a famous medrash in Shir HaShirim that we know. The men had it, they were all in, they were despaired. Came to Mitzrayim and they, after a long day's work, they were exhausted, worn out. And they thought, what is the point of the continuity of the Jewish nation? You take out babies which will be born and you plunge them into water and you drown them at birth. And if they survive a little bit longer, you'll put them instead of cement between bricks, drag them out like micho. Futility to have any idea of procreating. But the women went along with the idea of Bahana Kafsh the Rachmun Olomoloch. Don't make God's cheshbonos. Eibshet geheißen, Kinder, we have to worry about the continuity. And then the Medrush Chazal expound how, what happened to those children that were planted in fields, grew up, and Maluchim looked after them and gave them honey, gave them milk, and they survived. And they grew up afterwards and joined the rest of Klal Yisrael. But the women who essentially beautified themselves refused to capitulate. And they had highly polished copper mirrors. And they sat with their husbands and they endeared themselves to their husbands. And against all odds, they continued and tried to have continuity for the Jewish race. When Shurbani came, he's faced with this source of copper and he found it distasteful to use this for the kiyoh, an object of tahara, an object which is supposed to be to wash the kohanim and before they go about doing the avodah to purify themselves with mirrors which are there superficially for lustful purposes. And the Eibishter said to him, no, no. Those mirrors, those are the ones which I want very specifically. Those are the ones you should make the kiyah out of. Now, last week we discussed about the Ze'er Ampe, this minuscule presence of the Rebbein Shlomo. So therefore, when the instruction for building the Mishkan was introduced, the men thought to themselves, this is putting the last nail into the coffin. The Rebbein Shlomo went away, Kaveh Yuchel disappeared from the Masa Egel. And now, just in case you've got any doubts, here is the building to show you that his presence will only be within the vicinity of this building. The Egel was the departure, Kavyuchel, of the Shekhinah. Contributing to the Mishkan for the men was like nailing their own coffin. The women, again, took the attitude, Macht nicht Eibishtes Cheshboines. You are supposed to build this building. The Rebbein Shlomo said he's coming back and he's forgiving. That should be a place of joy. And they took the jewelry and they gave it towards the building of the Mishkan. Again, this is a renaissance. It's something new. It's a rebuilding. It's a reconstruction. It's a step towards the new future. So, Memaila, you've got like this. In Mitzrayim, the faith of the women saved the nation of Klal Yisrael physically. And by the Mishkan, the faith of the Jewish women saved the Jewish nation spiritually. Because in Mitzrayim, they procreated and literally saved the nation. And by the Mishkan, they brought the Rebbein Shlomo back to be Mashre Shechinusa. Now, when you think about the sky, when you think about the moon, you see a place where there was light, it diminishes, gets darker and darker, and there's almost a slither left, and it looks like that the moon is disappearing into oblivion. and looks like it's going to terminate completely, light is ceasing, there's nothing, all there is a black sky. And that was the atmosphere that prevailed by Klal Yisrael when they were in Mitzrayim. There is no hope. But the Jewish women said, no, 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 you'll see that from the darkness there will be a renaissance, there will be a renewal of light. And that slither of moon which disappears into blackness will suddenly reappear and grow and grow, and light will fill the sky. And therefore, this was the symbol of the Yontov which was given to the ladies. This is the symbol of the renaissance, of the renewal, where they could see amidst and despite the blackness that prevailed then, that there is a light that shines from within, and it will grow, and there will be optimism and hope for the Jewish nation and its continuity. Meimeile, when we read tomorrow the parsha of Achodesh Hazeh Luchem, note that there is a vuv missing there. In the Chodesh it can be read, Hachidish Hazeh Luchem. Chidish is a word which means renewal, renaissance, optimism, like the Jewish women saw the place forward amidst the most difficult times. Kind Yeluni, the Eibshe soll helfen, was muss man sehen. Euer Mitocha Choshach, Kitschaps. Amen.